just bow our heads in word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach this part of your service, Lord, we want to say we're so thankful for your mercy and your grace, Lord, for we truly need it, Lord. We ask, God, that you, Lord, will forgive us of our shortcomings and our failings, dear Lord. We ask, Lord, that you will come down and anoint this word and speak to us in the power of the gospel. We ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. If you could turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 24. I want to be pretty much staying right there in the 24th chapter this morning. But I want to begin by reading, starting at verse 7. And notice, this is where the disciples have asked, what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus is answering this, and he says, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And false prophets shall arise and deceive and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You may be seated. In the Message of Jehovah of Miracles, Brother Adam says, you know, people used to be, they cared for one another. You know, but nowadays they don't. They don't care for each other. People so cold, so far away from one another. Used to be when one of the neighbors would get sick, why, we'd all go in and set up and help them and cut their wood and cut their corn and help them plow or whatever was going on and help them. But today you don't even know your neighbor's dead unless you read it in the paper. It's so cold and indifferent. He says, and believest thou this, he says, that's right, no friendship among one another anymore. That's awful. Love. Because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, said Jesus in Matthew 24, and that's true. He says in the resurrection, you know, today we kind of lost that kind of feeling for one another. In the Message of Resurrection of Lazarus, he says, we don't have love for one another no more, don't have no feeling for one another no more. Why, the only way you know your neighbor's dead is when you read it in the paper anymore. That's right, nobody don't have a feeling for one another. Well, down in Kentucky, we used to go and help shuck the corn out, cut the wood and everything, and when somebody was sick, you don't know nothing about that no more. Nobody knows anything about it. He was saying these things back in the 50s. That he was seeing the love of people waxing cold. How about today? He says in Spiritual Inspiration in 1956, he says, you know, he's speaking to you, look in the crowd. I've even surprised in a church here, you know, people's got so cold-hearted they can't even shed a tear no more. They just become so indifferent. It's a spirit of the age. We're at the end time when men's hearts are failing, perplexed of time, natural affections gone from people. The love of God shall pull away. But you see, you here tonight with the breaking up and tears rolling down your cheeks and mothers and daughters and fathers and sons weeping, wonderful. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit is here. The Spirit of God in these last days has revealed himself in a sevenfold manner. And it's brought about so the attributes of God could be there for the believers for this end time anointing. But so has Satan took and compounded things, because he's getting people ready. And In this last day, there will be a spirit of destruction, rebellion, insanity, adultery, compromise, hatreds, betrayals, and deception. What is it? It's Satan taking everything he's got to bring down and saying this is going to be the anointing of the last days. Junction of time, Brother Branham says, angels appear in the end time. All the prophets and signposts point, saying this day the angels will appear, prophets will arise, signs and wonders. And if God did that for those little junctions back there, what will he do now when all hell is turned loose? All heaven will turn loose. Angels appearing, signs and wonders on the earth, the counterfeits arising, God proving which is right and wrong. And now notice, not only that, but when all hell turns loose, all heaven turns loose also. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against it, and these two forces has always showed at the junction. That's why we've got such an anointing in our day. It's because we're combating the spirit of the last days. The spirit you and I are going to fight may not be drinking and smoking, adultery, and so on. What it'll be is that we don't become cold and indifferent. Spiritual inspiration, Brother Branham said, people's got so cold they can't even shed a tear no more. They just become so indifferent. It's a spirit of the age. Notice he ain't talking about people killing and murdering one another. He was just talking about, said, people can't cry no more. They're just not touched with the feelings of others. No, and then what he's also going to say is no emotion toward God. Now people can go around saying, well, I love my brother and my sister. But what do you feel when you're in church? Is the love of God waxing cold? That's what we got to fight. That it just doesn't become that we do this because it's Sunday or Wednesday or Thursday or whatever. That we're not just doing it because that's what we do on that particular day of the week. People, you know, you can say, well, I don't cut my hair, I don't wear pants, and that's good. But that's not all there is to it. He said, the Bible said, the love of many will wax cold. That's something we got to fight as well. But we have to fight and combat something in order to be overcomers. And the thing we are combating now is the spirit and anointing of Satan in this last day. Satan for 6,000 years has used a certain anointing for a certain day, then another anointing for another day, and another. But now he's heading it all up. Now everything he has ever pulled out of hell, he's turning it loose now. To bring about the anointing that would be, that the Bible talks about, would be on the people in the last days. Satan tries to make us cold, make us lose feeling for one another, callous, hard, no compassion, can't shed a tear. Brother Ram says, it's the spirit of the age. In Hebrews chapter 3, Brother Branham says, you know, the Bible said what would happen. The love would be so far away in the last days, the only love there would be left would be between the elect of God's people. The father will be against mother, and mother against father, and children against parents, indifferent ones against each other, and the only love will be left will be just be that elect, just the elect. You know, John says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. What John says, Jesus said, if you have love one for another. If you have love one for another. There are so-called message people that would kill you if they could. Some of them already do with their tongue. Brother Branham said, when you ruin a man's influence, you might as well took a gun and shot him, because in God's eyes, you're a murderer. People that claim to believe this message will do anything and everything against you and still claim to be the elect. Hold grudges and talk about people and still go up and take communion. Run people down. You know, I tell you what, I've got to where I just don't even want to get around that stuff. Some years ago, I went to a meeting, and I ain't got nothing against going to meetings, don't get me wrong. But I went to a meeting and got there, and some brother who I know could not stand me because he had stood up in church and kind of let it be known before he left. And I come in contact over there, and he shook my hand, was patting me on the back, and said, so glad to see you, Brother Jerry. And I thought, you liar. Don't treat me like you love me when I know you don't. You know, Brother Ram said, you can tell. People can't fake that. You can tell whether they really love you or not. But there is a part of the prophecy that has a glorious ring to it for the bride. But then there's another part of the prophecy that just tears your heart out. As time goes on, it's going to come to where we're going to be forced to face reality. People that's no longer elect will not be able to impersonate the elect. It's manifesting time. Paul said Jannes and Jambres would be made manifest. That's in the last days. It's manifesting time. But see, the real genuine love, you can't impersonate that. No matter how much they try, they can't impersonate that. And he cares, do you care? Brother Branham says, the people, they lie, cheat, steal, till you almost have to have a bond of security to borrow $5 from somebody. You know, the Bible said that there'd be no love in the last days, but just among the elect people. That's right. Scripture speaks of that. The husband would be against the wife, and the wife against the husband, children against the parents. Just among the elect of God will there be any love left. And it doesn't take much. Some folks is like that, just impersonators, cross them one time. Differ with them one time. See if they still love you and pray for you. See if they still treat you nice, because most of them won't. It's manifesting time. People used to love me and think I was great. I'm still the same person. I ain't changed. But what is it? The love is leaving them. And it's going, prophet says it's going to keep dwindling down to only one class that still have love, and that's the elect. Listen to what he says here in the token. He says, as we see the great end time signs in the earth warning us the time is at hand, we should love one another more than we ever did in all of our lives. There should be such a hunger to get to church. There should be such a hunger for us to get to one another. It should be a love affair. Notice how he says that. Not only a love of us want to get to church, but want to get with one another. Amen. Want to be with one another. Why? Because when you are around sinners and sin and hypocrisy and everything else and people that are under the anointing of the Spirit in this last day, then when you get to come together with your brothers and sisters and you're free from all that.
Amen.
You're free from all that.
Yes.
Brother Branham says, there would be such a hunger for us to see one another. It would be such a love affair. That's the way church ought to be. Just seeing the power of God, what it's done for us, we should be counting the moments, getting together in love, that we could fly away someday to meet Jesus. I believe the more, as time goes on, the more we're going to begin to appreciate the real elect of God. The more we're going to be able to appreciate the company of the real elect of God. Because there's going to be variances and more strife and things, and some of it will be end up being close to home. But the only real love that's going to be left is going to be in the genealogy of Christ. The genesis of God. In the Thought Time Church Age and the Church Age book, it says, John said, everyone that loveth is born of God. That's 1 John 4:7. I want to give a warning right here. It says concerning the last days, that because of the abounding iniquity, the love of many will wax cold. In Laodicea, or the last age, self-love and love for material things will take the place of the true love of God. Self-love. We need to guard against the power of sin in these last days. So many are getting so hard because they haven't realized the effect of this last day spirit. It's time to draw nigh to God and let him fill our lives with his love, or we will feel the coldness of the last day church and reject the truth of God, which alone is able to help us. I tell you what, friends, if it ever gets cold and formal in here and died down, I'd just soon close the doors. I don't want us to become cold. Any of y'all ever been in when Catholics are having mass? The priest is saying his things, whatever they be, going through his motions. A lot of you can't even understand what in the world he is saying. Speaking in Latin. And it's just cold. But it ain't much different than it is out in some of these denominations, where the people think they have love, but it's not real love. They go to church and they pick where they go just so they can have some prestige about it. They don't want to be embarrassed to say where they go to church at. We're dealing with prophecy on the timeline of prophecy of positive and negative. In order for the positive side of the prophecy to come to pass, the negative side has to come to pass too. In order for Jesus to be wounded and die for redemption, Judas had to betray him. So while God is blessing the bride, Satan's pouring out the spirit of this last day, gathering up his church, gathering up his people, uniting time of sign, Brother Branham preached. It ain't just the people of God that's uniting. Satan's uniting too. You don't believe it? Look at all these groups that's marching on Washington and marching everywhere, and they're uniting under something. Things that used to be, you know, you never heard nothing about homosexuality. Now it's so common, your kids in the schools know about it. I didn't know nothing about that kind of stuff when I was in grade school and junior high. I didn't know nothing about that kind of stuff like that. I didn't know that existed. Mom and Dad never talked about any of that stuff at home. But I know now, looking back, I know it was there. But now, what I'm saying is now it's out in the open. Now they're uniting and becoming a strong force in this nation. Now they're in your government. Now they're passing laws. Now they're in your courts. Now they're teaching children. We'll go back to Matthew 24, verse 13. He says, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." So there's some enduring. We're going to have to endure this. We're going to have to combat it. We're not exempt from it. Say, "Well, no, brother, I ain't had no trouble with love." Look, it's something I'm telling you you're not exempt from. You're going to have to fight it. Are we getting down and praying for one another? Hey, I'm talking to myself too. We getting down and praying for one another, calling one another's names out in prayer and not knowing what you're going through that week or whatever. Let's don't let this take a hold of us. As we see this thing coming on stronger, I believe we ought to just unite stronger as well. And Jesus goes on in the 14th verse to say, "In this gospel the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Now, it was totally impossible for this to happen in the days of Paul, or the days of Irenaeus, or the days of Luther. But now it's possible because the gospel of the kingdom is being preached around the globe. Looking for Jesus, Brother Branham says, "Preach the gospel into all the world. Then he would return. But we've done everything else but do what he told us to do. He can't return until the gospel's been preached. You say you'll hear signs and wars and rumors of wars. Not yet. People against parents against children and children. That's not yet. But said when the gospel's been preached into all the world, then the end will come. He will return. There is the mission of the church to preach the gospel, demonstrate the power. Oh, we've passed tracts everywhere, but that ain't what it takes. It takes the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, truly." As the Lord spoke only to Moses, preaching in 53, Brother Ram says, "But now in the days we can't expect the gospel of Christ to be popular." He says, "Now this is not the gospel." something, and you tell me he's holding up his Bible. He said, this is not the gospel. The gospel is not word only. The word's just dead letter. The letter quickened, but made alive, brought to pass what would say it would do, that's the gospel. And the life story said, but after all, passing tracts is not preaching the gospel. The word has to be made alive. It's a dead letter until it's made manifest. Then it's quickened and brought to pass what God said about it. That's the gospel in action, the New Testament Christian. Five identifications, he says. How many knows what the gospel is? Not the word, Paul said. The gospel come to us not in word only, but through power and manifestation of the Holy Ghost. The gospel is the power of God to make the word act what it says it'll do. Preach the gospel in all the world. Preach the gospel to just white people or just brown or yellow or black. No, to every creature. I seen God baffle a bull one day. I seen him cause a hornet not to sting. I seen him raise up a possum, been laying dead all night. The gospel will take effect upon anything that you ask. You said, that's wrong, Brother Branham. It isn't wrong. Jesus said to that tree, cursed be you, no man will eat from you from henceforth. And the gospel was preached to that tree. Now, I could take some quotes and lay them over here on this piano, and it would lay there until the paper rotted.
Yeah, that's right.
I could take this Bible. I could lay it over here on the piano, and nothing would happen except it'd collect dust. But you let the gospel get a hold of that piano, and it'll play the great physician now is here.
Amen.
That's power and demonstration of the gospel. Patmos Vision said, God's dependent upon his church. God's relying on us in this age to bring this gospel light to a dying, heathen-bound, traditional world. God's laying the burden on me and you. Woe unto us if the heathen dies without knowing it. Oh, they carried reading and writing and arithmetic and a few religious pamphlets. I mean the gospel. The gospel's not only the word. Paul said, the gospel didn't come to us through word only, but the word made manifest. When the word by the Holy Ghost is planted into the heart that's got the Holy Ghost, that produces what the word said it would. I want to go back to verse 21. Matthew 24 says, where then shall be great tribulation such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor even shall be. And except those days shall be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not. Notice now, there was a rise in something in the last days that's trying to pinpoint the coming of Christ, that's trying to make it a certain geographical location, and Jesus knew this, and that's why he said this in this way.
Amen.
He knew it would be that way. He knew people would begin to think that way. Well, maybe it's just going to be in this certain general location, and all of us got to be there.
No.
Believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. He's in Tucson. We all need to move out there. Go not forth. Behold, they say he's in the secret chamber. You got to go through that little room. before we can go in the rapture. Believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Now this is the one that's coming back that was saying this. So he ought to know how it's going to be. Questions and answers. Question 271. Question 979. Question 271. Says, the question is the more perfect church going to be in Tucson, Arizona? I want to be in God's perfect will. Shall we move to Tucson? Question 272. Brother Branham, knowing that you are the prophet for the hour we're living in, will there be a time when God's people will have to flee to Arizona with you? Question 273. Brother Branham, some understood you to say in your message that the future home of the bridegroom was to be 1,500 miles from the tabernacle, square 700 each way. Is this true? I live outside that area. Should I move into it? The secret, sudden secret going away of the church. If you never read that message, read it or listen to it. Really, a really good message. It's preached in 58. Sudden secret going away of the church. This secret coming of the Lord, sudden secret going of the church, watch. It'll be two in the field. I'll take one and leave one. There'll be two in a bed. I'll take one and leave one. Showing that the coming of the Lord will not be just in any certain corner, but it'll be universal. One will be in the field working, daytime. Another will be in the bed sleeping on the other side of the world. It'll be a universal rapture. It'll come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise, and she'll be caught away secretly. Oh, I love that. The great bridegroom coming, and the bride that got herself ready, waiting for that secret moment that she doesn't even know herself, but she's ready and dressed and waiting for it. Letting off the pressure, Brother Ram says, I know he's coming for a church. It'll sure be in the minority. There'll be two in the field. I'll take one, leave one. Two in a bed. I'll take one, leave one. A universal resurrection, a rapture. Questions and answers. Paragraph 138, he says, he may take two out of Jeffersonville, two out of Indiana, two out of Kentucky, two out of Mississippi. That's exactly what he said. There'll be two in a field. That's where daylight's at. There'll be two in a bed. That's on the other side of the earth. It's nighttime. The gathering of people will not be clannish for a group here. It'll be a universal resurrection gathering together, and the rapture will come the same way, because he said, when one fell asleep in his watch, one that watched, and on down the seventh watch, and then when the bridegroom cometh, all them awaken, everyone, all the way from the time of Genesis until the end of Revelations. Now you see, he shows that all the dead will rise forth from the grave at his coming. The righteous, the bride, the sleeping ones that's in the grave will rise at the resurrection. Then he shows the people are living on the earth. It'll be one here and one there. It will not be a bunch of people gathered together in a little group. So it's not going to be people gathered together at a certain location in a tent or at a big, great big convention. Jesus gave the setting. He said it would be everyday normal life. Isn't that what he's saying? There'd be two in a field working. There'd be some sleeping, waiting to get up to go to work. It'll be normal life. That's why it'll be so secret. Some believe Brother Branham will have a personal resurrection first, and then we'll call the rest of the dead, and then we'll get together and have some kind of a meeting and walk through a little room, and then Jesus will come. that ain't true. But I've been around people, friends, they're staking their soul on it. Jesus was saying, when I come, life's going to be so normal that it'll be secret. Questions and Answers 143, Brother Ram says, so the gathering will be unto Christ, whether I'm in Jeffersonville, whether I'm in Sweden, or whether I am wherever it is the gathering to be unto the shepherd, see? Then together we'll be caught up with the resurrection to meet the Lord in the air, people coming from all parts of the earth that's living, people that's dead and so forth will rise. And together the church will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. His coming will be universal. In the second seal, he says, now, just before the coming of Christ, the Bible said there'd be false Christs arise and would claim to be Christ and would say, lo, people, he's in the desert. Don't believe it. Lo, he's in his secret chamber. Don't believe it. For as the sun shineth from the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He'll appear, and it'll be a universal thing. Here again, he said, look at missionaries that's died down in the fields of Africa. Look at them that's died up yonder in the frozen regions of the north. Look at them that died in the arena, all over the world, in the Congo, all around across the world. They've died everywhere in China and Japan and all around the world, and the coming of the Lord will be universal. This rapture will. Watch the changing. There'll be two in a bed, I'll take one, leave one. That same moment. There'll be two in a field, I'll take one, leave one. One on the dark side of the earth, one on the light side of the earth. It'll be a universal rapture. Yes, the church will all be together, but after the resurrection and the rapture set in. Verse 35 in Matthew 24 says, heaven and earth shall pass away. My time here. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days there was before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Now we spoke about the compounding of the spirit of Satan in this last day. But look, Genesis is a seed chapter. It's a seed book, rather. Revelations is the harvest book. So there's been seed that's been planted in Genesis that's concerning this last day. In Genesis 6, there was a seed sown for sons of God to be trapped by women. But also there was a seed sown by Noah and his two righteous sons for them, for sons of God to escape that. Which one are we going to be? Which one of those seeds has been planted in us? Whatever seed's there, that's what it's going to bring forth. Depends on the seed which dwells in this earth. Let's look at Genesis 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 1. It shall come to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took to them wives of all which they chose. Notice, they weren't prayerfully entering into this thing. And he wasn't talking about murdering people. He's talking about marrying. And the Lord said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. When did he say this? After they had married those types of women. And there was giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same began mighty men with old, men of renown." Jesus said, what was it in the days of Noah? What was it? Sons of God, sons of Seth, being caught up with the daughters of Cain. Satan in his last day taking beauty and using it as power. And through that, actually throwing people at his feet. There's only one safe place for us. Behind the blood of Jesus Christ. Flashing red light. Brother Adam said, did you notice it never said anything about marriage? The sons of God came unto the daughters of men. He's talking about that last verse we read. And nothing about marriage. Now, if you take in the original Greek there, the word meaning says, is wrote down here. I looked it up this afternoon. It didn't say take wives. It said took to them women. They took to them as they were free lovers, like they have today. In other words, they were lovers in that day just as they are now. They went away the way they wanted to and took any woman they could. Notice, women in the days of Noah must have been the talk of the day. See, the sons of God, Seth's sons, saw the daughters of Cain, that they were beautiful. Why? They were wicked. They were daughters of Cain. When the sons of God saw the daughters' men that they were fair, they took unto them women. Then the sons of God fell from their estate with God and become woman chasers. And if that ain't the picture of today, I don't know what is. That is true. Men, even in our churches today, look everywhere you wish to notice it. Everywhere, look in the day, must have been pretty women. Men become slaves to them, says history. Men become actually slaves to the women because they were so pretty, they become slaves. They literally made shrines and worshiped them. Just think, they literally worshiped female flesh and blood in that day. That's history. Now, that was a seed that was sown in the seed chapter of the Bible. People are going to fulfill one part or the other of that. But notice this, Noah and his two righteous sons, they lived in the same day as these other men. They saw the same women that these other men saw. But something was inside of them, a seed sown for you and me. There was an article that I got a hold of some years ago, and you wouldn't be able to find it on the internet today, but it's been some years ago I got a hold of it, but it was titled Living in Sin and Loving It. And it talked about the legal rights and financial rewards available to unmarried couples and how it was becoming, they were getting more and more things available to them and rights and benefits and everything and being considered, even though they weren't married, being treated like they were married as far as benefits and health insurance, all these other things went. That's the direction this article said that it was all going. I looked this up. There, in 2013, it said there were 7 million unmarried households in the U.S. 7 million unmarried couples together. That'd be 14 million people living that way. This is one that really got me, though. When I was looking for this, and I stumbled across this other one. In the census of 2014, there were 88,000 unmarried couples in Israel. I stumbled across that article. These rabbis were talking and discussing this, what was going on in their nation of Israel, little old Israel. Say, we don't have to worry about that. Really. So none of us knows anybody that had left the church and went and shacked up with somebody. But that's them. That ain't me. It ain't just going on in the outside world. Then there's those that maybe they ain't shacking up, but they're still having relations with one another. And this is becoming acceptable, normal. You see, homosexuals and lesbians and I don't know what all these other groups are and that, they're all gathering together and marching and going for the rights and everything else, but you don't see a group of unmarried couples are doing it. Why? They're already accepted. That's already normal. They've been doing that for years. It's just got worse over the years. Census data release reveals that unmarried couples that live together are just as likely as their married counterparts to raise children in their household. Can you see why homosexual women, lesbians are pushing so much for cloning? Because they want to be able to have children without men. That's just like people in this message who don't want a pastor. They want to produce Christ without having a pastor.
Amen, brother.
But God said there's got to be a marriage union.
Amen.
And God's got men that pack his word. Because his word is the seed that you receive.
Amen, brother.
And he's got men that pack it.
Exactly.
And because of that, this bride's going to produce Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On the earth again. Here's something else I found rather kind of raised my eyes at. According to U.S. Census figures, cohabitation numbers for people 65 and older has tripled in the past decade, jumping from 193,000 in the year of 2000 to 575,000 in 2010. 2010, I guess, was the last census that was taken. People are 65 and older, shacking up. That's what that's saying. And you know why? You know why they won't go ahead and get married? Because they don't want to give up their pensions. Now that's family in the last days, huh? Family in the last days. Whew. I'll tell you what, friends. I've got faults. I've got areas that I fell in. I got areas I got to repent over. But I'm glad one thing I can see, I'm not caught up in that side of the end time. I'm being anointed by a different spirit. Amen. Under a different anointing for the last day, anointing to get ready to leave out of here. Not to be having self-love and love of material things, but having love for one another. Amen. I'll tell you what, friends, don't never feel embarrassed about demonstrating your love for one another. You can tell one another, I love you. We ain't going to think some weird thing's going on out in the parking lot if you go up to somebody and shake their hand and say, I love you, appreciate you. Amen. Brother Nate prepares to come. I forgot to tell him that I wanted to, if it's all right, I wanted to have another fellowship dinner next Sunday. You think that's all right? And we try to see if we can't maybe have one a month. And I think we need it. It's good to get together, man. And enjoy the fellowship of one another.
Stand.
To be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, what a
through life's journey.